Just before we begin the class, there was someone who remarked that I have a relative who says that I'm good. Life is well for me. I don't need God because my life seemed to have all the things that I need. Well, I said to our dear brethren that you give to this young man Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. To read through the story of Solomon in his old age, he had enjoyed all the things that life can offer. You name it, he has it. You name it, he has enjoyed it. And he says at the end of it, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And so I said to her that, why don't you take your Bible and read with him Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And at the end of it, it says that there is a judgment that is going to come, you know. Life is just isn't like that. How we live, how we're going to live, or how we live matters at the end. And the Lord wants us to understand and know these things. And sometimes it's because we don't know. We said to our dear friend, you will be that ambassador to the young man. You go have dinner with him and you talk to him and you share with him the things that concerning his soul. And we pray that God would grant to him understanding, help him to see the reality of life. And when we are able to see it, then you find that, yeah, there is a great peace and joy that will come to our hearts. Today our topic, none seeketh after God. On our own, we don't want God. On our own, we want our own way, our own life. We would like to go about, well, doing our own things, that which we find pleasing in our sight. Well, you see, life with God isn't that much of a misnomer. That means there's not a mismatch between life with God and the enjoyable life that God wants us to live. There's not a mismatch, right? In a sense that when we know God and we live with Him, life is truly enjoyable. Life is truly happy. Life is truly blessed. And the Lord wants us to know that kind of a life, you see. The world go about seeking their own life. And Solomon went through great lengths to enjoy life under the sun. And he wrote at the end of his life a sob story, a book of regrets. But why was he so honest? Why did God use him to write all these things? And then we said, oh, but you are Solomon. You have enjoyed all the good things. After you have enjoyed them, you said that they are not worthy of the enjoyment. Well, Solomon has seen and he has understood what are those things that make for good. And the Lord wants us to understand and have our value system evaluated. You see, what is truly valuable must be eternal. If the things that we seek after is temporal, short-lived, but you can have it for a while, but then after that, you know, you lose it. So our value system is called to question when we speak about these things. And you see, when we go to heaven, the Bible tells us that, you know, heaven is a place where there is no sorrow. And it's described that in heaven there's no sea. It is taught that the sea is always a message, a picture of turmoil. It's a picture of disaster. And in the new heaven and the new earth, it's interesting that, you know, every day, you know, if you are driving, you'll find that you come to a roadblock, right? Because they are making a new tarmac. And you look at the new tarmac as they unearth it, drill, and they place a new tarmac. It's not that appealing. In heaven, the Lord tells us that it will be a street paved with gold, you know. Gold as transparent glass. What a place that God is bringing us to. The place with no sorrow. The place with no tears. The place of no regret. A truly happy place. And God will recreate for us, a new home. Jesus says he goes and prepare a mansion for us. And so God wants us to have our minds renewed, to set our affections on things above and not things on earth. See, the things on earth doesn't really, at the final equation, satisfy. There is not that satisfaction that you can claim and hold to it. And that is why the Lord wants us to have our minds renewed, have our value system attuned, to know that we are a heavenly people. Well, I think of my own life. I said that now, you know, the Lord has brought us to do this work, to serve Him. Right? And we ask ourselves, what is it that we are doing? Well, we said that we are running our race and we are pressing on so that we can complete our race. And that's it. You never know when you would drop dead one day. You never know when you cannot serve anymore. You never know when, you know, the heart would stop beating. So while we have strength, while we have life, God tells us that let us do something that would be meaningful. And the Lord wants us to evaluate meaning in the light of His Word, not our own concoction of purpose and meaning, you know. But God's Word gives to us a truth. And when we learn and get to know Him, you'll find that, yeah, life takes a different meaning. We are going to a land, a Beulah land. We are going to a beautiful, eternal city that God is going to build for us. And you'll find that this life, it's just a sojourning, you know. Because you can never fight and win in a sin-cursed world in that sense. Because you find that instead of getting better, your body is not getting better, but deteriorating by the day. And so one day, we are going to meet, we are going to come to a day when we have to think about our last moments. Right? And as a young man, you may think that, you know, that day may be forever. It will not come to me. But if you were to go to the Choa Chu Kang Cemetery, you'll find that, hey, there are those who also die young. Their life was cut short. And so, while we have life, right, God wants us to think about life. Think about seeking Him. Think about meaning. So that we would be aligned to know that we are doing those things that, you know, would profit us in the long run, in the true sense of it. Okay. Romans chapter 3 verse 7 says, "If the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto His glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner?" Well, here he's speaking, right, saying to us, amidst the failure of the nation of Israel, the failure of the church, right, God used all this for His glory to fulfill His redemption plan. Right? You look at our own lives, you look at the life of Israel. What happened to Israel? Israel has departed from God. But aren't they the people of God? They are the nation that God has made to be His representative to all the nations of the world. And yet, what happened to them? They went after the idols. They sought after those things. After God has blessed them so much. Why like that? Oh, then you see how, you know, when they went after the idols, God came after them. God sent enemies. You know, the Babylonians were sent. And how terrible it is that, you know, the nation was ravished. But it was not until God had spent many, many years saying to them, "Come back, come back, come back." Many, many years the Lord had said to His people, to the people of Israel, "Come back to me. Be serious. Put me first in your life. Put me first in your heart. For all the blessings that will be bestowed upon you, you cannot enjoy it enough." Right? The blessings of God with His people. That's why the psalmist says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." If you have God as your shepherd, He will take care of all your needs. "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." How is it that God is able to lead us to places where there is pasture for us to be fed and water that is still so that the frightened sheep would not be fearful but is able to partake of the water that is not threatening, still waters, so that they can enjoy it. "And He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the right path of righteousness for His name's sake." Not only does He provide for us physically, but He provides for us spiritually in our hearts. He restoreth our soul. He brings us back our peace. He brings back the joy in our hearts. And God wants us to enjoy it. And this is the relationship we have with our shepherd. And God wants us to build it strong. Build it strong. So strong that you find that you have strength to go through what we said, this hard life, as it were. Right? We are faced with many challenges daily, whether it is in our workplace, whether it's in our school, wherever we are, we may be. Many things can discomfort us. But if we have God with us, then you would find that, you know, there is a strength for life. For 1,000 years, the church was in darkness because the people of God didn't have the Word of God with them. Until the reformer, Martin Luther, began to read the Bible for himself and began to be set free in his heart from all his fears, from all his anxieties, from all his distress. You know, he was seeking God. And how did he seek God? Well, he seeked God by, you know, we have said, walk up the stairs on his knees. He was afflicting himself. But that's not the way by which we can seek God, you see, until he discovered that salvation comes by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, according to Scripture alone, to the glory of God alone. Ah, that is spiritual life, you see. When God gives to us that spiritual life, is so happy. So happy. This morning we had someone who joined us for church. Hasn't gone to church for some time. And life was miserable. Right? But after deciding to want to come back to God. So I said, to come back to God, what must you do? Come for worship. How to come for worship? Oh, but I work on Sunday. Well, I have to talk to my supervisor. Yes. Supervisor said, okay, can start work in the afternoon. And so, morning, available. Came for worship. So happy in the heart. Why? Because you see, when we are connected with God, we are connected with our Creator through worship, there is so much joy and peace in the heart. So the problems that we have, right, seem to dim. Everything seems to go away. So happy. You know, you can see the heart of such a soul coming back to God. I ask, you are willing to come back to the Lord? Yes, I'm willing. And just by that simple willingness of the heart. So I said, will you come again next week? I will come again next week. Yeah. Why? Because when we set our hearts with God, God will also give us a desire to seek Him, you see, to obey Him, to want to worship Him, to want to be found in His presence. And that is such a meaningful thing. See, when Martin Luther discovered it, he had to share with the whole world. You see, at that time, the only Bible that is available is in Latin. And most of the people don't read Latin. And the Bible, well, was originally given in Hebrew and Greek. But the Hebrew and Greek language is archaic language, right? To most of the people after more than 1,500 years. So, how to know God's word? Well, during that time, God raised up men with a linguistic ability to translate the Bible into the language of the people. So Martin Luther translated the Bible into German, the language of his people. And it was also at that time in Germany that God, for the first time, through the man called Gutenberg, invented the printing press. So the first book that was printed was the Bible. And it was distributed. And when the people read it, they were so happy. Their sins were forgiven. And they know where they are going. You see, if we have not dealt with our sin problem, then peace won't come to our hearts. But we have to deal with our sin problem. And for Martin Luther, he dealt with it by the grace of God. Paul said in Romans 1:16-17, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every man that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith. That means your salvation doesn't come with you having to do anything. You know, life with Christ is very light. The yoke that Jesus don't impose any yoke on us, you know. The yoke of following Christ is actually a very light yoke. That means Jesus tells us that when we follow him, you know, it's a very happy relationship. When we follow him, it's a very happy relationship. You see, when the apostle Peter was asked to leave his nets to follow Jesus, he said, hey, I don't go fishing anymore. What am I going to eat? I can't eat fresh air. I can't eat fresh air. What am I going to do? Then what did Jesus say to him after he caught a whole net empty for the whole night? As an experienced fisherman, Jesus said to him, go out, launch out into the deep, and let your nets down for a draught. So at Christ's command, he let down the net. And Peter said, at thy word, I will do so. And when he let down the net, what did he caught? Wow, a whole net full of fish. All the fish swam into his net. Christ is the sustainer of our livelihood. Our job comes from him. What we have on the table every day comes from him. That's the mystery of godliness. God manifesting himself in the flesh, in the person of Jesus Christ. If we know who he is and we are connected with him, then do we have to worry about our livelihood? Well, Jesus said to Peter, now you shall become fishers of men. Fishers of men. But then we said, wow, how to do that? You know, Jesus led him, and he was together with Peter going to the temple for worship. It was 3 p.m. on the sixth hour, and there was a man sitting at the gate, beautiful, begging. Can you give me some coins? And Peter said to him, silver and gold have I none, but what I have, I can give it to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Wow. Does Peter possess anything? He didn't possess anything, right? In the sense that he had given up his nets. But what did he possess? He had Christ with him, and the power of God was with him. Does he need anything else? No. God will take care of him. And he has understood this, you see. When we have understood this and realized that we are in Christ and he has, and we have no lack because he will take care of us, then we would not fidget. We will not fret. We will be willing to trust him, and we will be willing, right, to cost him, right, to enable him in the sense that to help us. We will be willing to wait upon him. We are willing to experience his goodness. And God wants us to be able to experience all this in our lives. Only when we have fully given our lives over to him, surrender ourselves to him, will we be able to see his power, you see? If Jesus said to Peter, let down your nets, and he refused to let down his net. He said, I fished the whole night already, no fish, you know, I'm so tired now, you still ask me to go out again, why should I? Then he would not have experienced the whole net full, right? But because he was obedient to the word of God, and the word of God has power, you see. That's the word rhema. At thy word, I will let down the net. The word of God has life, has power. You know, it's like a seed. Have you seen how a seed is able to grow into a plant? Oh, wow. A life-giving, you know. Yeah, that's the word of God. It's able to impart to you life, strength, power. And God wants you to take hold of that power. That's why we need to spend time to study his word, meditate upon his word. So, you know, it may be something that is alien to us, right? Because we haven't understood the value of things. Then it's not too late to begin. You see, it's not too late. We have a dear brother who said that my mother doesn't know how to read, but she's able to read the Bible. And believe in Jesus Christ. And bring the family to God. And go to church. How is that possible? Yeah, when you hear her prayer, wow, you say this is a man of God. That's a woman of faith. When she's on her knees to pray, you know that she's a woman of faith. But she's uneducated, as it were. And yet, God gives that kind of a strength and a power into her life. How can it be? What about us? We are given so much, you know. We know how to read because we have been given the opportunity of an education. So we learn, we get to learn these things. Right. Then last night, we spoke to another lady, and she said that I have no education at all. I don't know. But we ask, do you have faith in God? Yes, I have faith in God. And because she had faith, right, God gave her peace and joy in her heart. So she's beginning to go to church, seeking her baptism in a week's time. Wow. So happy. Seeking God. No need education. God wants just our heart, you see. And when we would be willing to devote our heart, you know, despise ourselves in the sense that, you know, He said, I don't have education, I can't come to God. I don't have this, I can't come to God. I don't have that, I can't come to God. No. When you come to Him, you have everything. Because He's the possessor of all things, you see. So, that is the mystery, that is the secret of life with God. And God wants you to have it abundantly. But it is not like what you think in your own mind. Life with God is different, you see. And that's why God wants you to take hold of it. Although the nation of Israel failed her Lord and the church has let her Christ down, God's plan to save sinner has not been thwarted. He was able to bring forth light to dispel darkness in an evil world. You see, when Israel failed God, when Jesus Christ came, when Jesus Christ came upon earth and the nation rejected Him, what happens when the nation rejected Him? Well, when they rejected Him, God used a remnant of Jewish men to begin the church. A remnant. You see, God doesn't work in big numbers, you know. God works in men and women who are consecrated to Him. Men and women who would be willing to give themselves to Him. And you'll be surprised that God can use a humbled and a contrite heart. Why? Because then the power of God can flow through us, you see. Right? If we are full of ourselves, God's power cannot flow through us. We will resist the power of God. God's power cannot come to us because we are not a surrendered vessel, you see. We are not surrendered to God. God's power cannot flow through us. Only when we are surrendered. Only when we are willing to give ourselves up to God. God raised Moses to rescue Israel out of slavery in Egypt. Moses killed an Egyptian in his rashness and had to flee Egypt. Is God praised by his murderous act? Of course not. But Moses had to learn how to rescue his people God's way. Right. So he spent 40 years in the wilderness. God humbled him. When God finally called him to return to Egypt to free his people, he did it God's way, not his own way. God has never willed that men accomplish his will by sinful means. Doing evil will not bring forth good. A corrupt tree cannot bring forth good fruit, but a good tree will bring forth a good fruit. And so here the Lord wants us to see and understand and know. So God gives to us and trusts to Israel His law. And Israel's role was to learn it, live it, and teach it to the other nations. God gives to us His word as a church. Right? Today Israel is existing in the land. Right? They have rejected their Christ. So, during this time, God has given to His church the spiritual awakening to be His instruments. You see, how can you be an instrument for God? Only when you have learned His word and live it and then to share it with others. And so that process takes time. You see, for us to learn to teach, to learn to live and to share. And so if they lived like the nations of the world, then they failed to carry out the good principles taught in God's word. And that's why Israel was judged, you know. I was reading the book of Ezekiel, and it's so frightening, right, that God would do all these things to his own people. But here, the Lord described his own people as harlots, described Jerusalem as unfaithful, Samaria as unfaithful. Why is it like that? Well, because they really turn away from God. After they know God, they turn away from him. How sad it is. Right? But God doesn't want us to be like that, you see. God wants us to know how we are so in need of him. What then, verse 9 says, are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Israel and Gentiles, for they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. A sad truth, an honest assessment of man's fallen state, a declaration of his utter depravity and his need of a savior. Man has three problems to solve: sin, sorrow, and death. Ask anyone to analyze man and his life, and you will come to this conclusion. Of sin, well, we see this world plagued by hatred and violence. This British author wrote, he recorded for our learning, that out of the past 4,000 years, there has been less than 300 years without a major war. And peace, man of God said, is merely the brief, glorious moment in history when man stops to reload. We are always fighting, always bickering. The Apostle Paul tells us, concluded, that man's wisdom at best is lacking. He's gone out of his way, and he's trying to make himself an identity outside his Creator. Is it possible? Can we make ourselves an identity outside our Creator? No. At every turn, the Lord will thwart. Right? When man thought that he could, God sent a global flood. And when man, when God thought that he has zeroized everything, right, through Noah, and man came back again, how did man came back? Well, came back by building a tower, right? A tower that want to stretch all the way to heaven. Man rebelled against God again. Don't want God. I want my own way. Then what did God do? God had to confound their language. Then everyone had to go their own way because they cannot understand one another. Right? So they were scattered. God confounded their language and they were scattered. Genesis chapter 10, chapter 11. And so after they were scattered, all lost everywhere around the globe, how to reach them? Right? God had to start a nation. God called Abraham, Genesis chapter 12. Abraham would begin a nation. And this nation would be situated right at the crossroad of three continents: Europe, Africa, and Asia, so that they will be by which they would be able to reach the world. Wow. And, you know, coming to know God, coming to Jesus Christ is the greatest thing that a man can ever receive. And this is my own testimony. After coming to know God, it's such a wonderful experience. And what do you do after coming to know God? Well, just spend time studying His Word. Spend time studying His Word. Spend time to get to know Him. Right? And so life is, you know, quite different. In the past, you used to study this, study that, you know, read this, read that. But now you know that, hey, there's an anchor, there's a bearing. The Word of God is the one that would be able to guide you in your life. So we have no excuse to say that we don't know how to, we cannot read well, we cannot, you know. God will help us. What a wonderful Savior we have. What a wonderful Savior. And I cannot forget this chorus that was sung. What a wonderful Savior. Let us close with this chorus. What a wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ my Lord. What a wonderful Savior, from sin He set me free. I will praise Him forever, faithful to death I'll be. What a wonderful Savior Jesus is to me. Father in heaven, we pray that You help us to seek Thee with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Help us to be faithful unto the end. Lord, we need Thee. And You are the one that is sustaining us, giving us life. Help us to realize this and help us to know the precarious situation we are in, running away from Thee. Lord, draw us back to Thee so that we may find life with Thee in humble seeking worship. Lord, bless our hearts and strengthen us with Thy presence. This I pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.